on SEN Questions Without Notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Great to have you with us this morning. Looking forward to talking a whole heap of sport. Emily Seebohm is going to join us. Gold and bronze medalist in the pool in Tokyo. She's up in quarantine. She's going to be live from quarantine. So we'll get some idea of how they're going up there. Jordan Lewis to come in and talk about round 21, is it? Round 21 coming up. And Georgie Samios with a little bit of wine. Now, there's a stack on the Monash. It's a mess, apparently. Not as much of a mess as the message that you sent me through. There's a new crash at Stud Road, just claimed a third, about 100 metres early, the car in front of a truck blocking. Anyway, doesn't make much sense, but apparently it's an absolute mess out there, so that's not great news.
And we don't always read out the positive text, but Dobbo sent one through this morning. He's loving the show, laughing along with the program, and really enjoying it. Thank you, Dobbo, for that. That's just a bit of positivity today.
Nice. Yep.
Just on the line too, let's go to this caller.
No, Tim, no.
Hello?
We're not doing the Cheryl joke.
Hello?
Now
it's Cheryl speaking.
I'm sorry.
We should get sushi, Carol.
It was Carol, not Cheryl. I said Cheryl. So you stuffed that up as well. Right. Now, Coxie, I don't
Can
know
Can you
if
and Coxie get on the same page?
If you know my serious face. This is my serious face. Not to be played again until I tell you. Let's just talk about Taylor and Tex Walker. I don't know. So there's an investigation into this. So the details seem to be that Texan was at a SANFL game. The Crows are playing North Adelaide. Now, here,
Matty Crouch was playing.
Alleged to have said something about Robbie Young, who was playing for
North Adelaide.
North Adelaide. Not that it makes any difference, but there's not to him. It was about him and someone overheard him.
That's
right.
Is that
my understanding?
That's pretty much it as it has been reported.
Right. So it's going to be it's not a hearsay job, but it's going to be difficult to work out how you're going to prosecute that.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yes. That's exactly right. That's as much as we know. So
that's all we can talk about.
It's a back page, the Herald Sun, a back page in the Age.
And
this
it's
morning.
A big story because of the racial vilification situation. We're getting on top of this thing. We're not getting on top of it. In fact, that's why it's a big story. I don't know any more than that, so I'm not prepared to comment on what happened here. We'll wait and see what Tex Walker's got to say today, if in fact he speaks.
Yes. What else have you got there that you wanted to get through?
I wanted to talk to you about Josh Kelly.
Yes. What can you tell me?
What sort of a player demands or deserves 8 years at $8 million? Is it a player who has played for, I haven't got the actual games, is he about 150 games? He's had one best and fairest, one all Australian. He was equal fourth last year. He polled five Brownlow votes, averaged 22 possessions. Is that the resume or CV of an 8 year, $8 million player?
No. If I was to categorise him as a player, mm-hmm. he's an outstanding, he's an excellent midfielder. He's not a match, in my mind, he's not the match-winning, needle-moving player that others are. Like, I don't think he changes the course of a game by the actions out on the field and what he produces by the way he plays. He's a great...
He can. I've seen him do it. He can. He can be a needle mover. I don't doubt he can be a needle mover.
But have...
We don't see.
So when you think about the needle movers in the game, those that really influence games, you don't necessarily think of him.
No, I don't, but he can do it. I have seen him do it, but he doesn't do it consistently enough that he comes to front of mind when you talk about the needle mover.
That's right. So if you're talking about an eight-year deal, if you're talking about tying yourself as a football club to a player for 8 years.
$8 million.
Is
it's extraordinary money, Tim.
You would just take it. And if he hasn't taken it by now, apparently there was a deadline, which was the 31st of July, which has come and gone, has been extended out. One would think then that he's still potentially thinking about other offers
and going somewhere else, which is fine. He has got offers. We know that. We know North Melbourne are all over him.
Which is fine. And good luck to him.
I'm not begrudging him anything. I hope he gets as much money as he wants. I'm just trying to work out, is he an $8 million player?
No, he's part of your midfield group. Right, so when you sit down, that's
not $1 million a year player. $1 million a year player is Martin and Petrarca and Bontempelli. That's $1 million.
Yeah, I don't think he's up to that level.
One best and fairest and one all Australian.
No, he's not up
and
to that.
And does that warrant $1 million a year?
No, but good luck to him.
No, good luck.
I read that article in the ACNA,
and I'm looking at it and go, God, that's a lot of money and a long time for a player who's been good, who's been great at times, but not over an extended period.
Yeah, and when you do pay somebody that amount of money and you do link yourself to them and tie yourself to them for that period of time, it impacts on other decisions that you can make around the building of your team as well. So the decision is very much his, though.
Of course it is. And
the ball is in his court. Like, he can stay and he's got the 8 years and the $8 million or whatever it is, or he can go and maybe he can even get a better deal somewhere. But philosophically speaking, I am dead against giving players contracts that run that period of time.
If you are a North Melbourne supporter, given what you've seen now, would you be happy if he arrived at your club on a similar sort of wedge?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question.
0433981116. Jeff Brown, not going to proceed with the EGM. Now, this is interesting. So when the whole Collingwood thing blew up, Jeffrey Brown put his hand up and said, right, I'm in, I'm up, I'm going to be the alternative. This is not good enough. You know, we know what Jeff's like. He's really strong. He's a charismatic character. But it's the way I viewed it, he slowly just backed off a little bit, backed off a little bit, backed off a little bit. And now, according to Eddie Maguire, this is where it sits.
A refresh is best achieved after the season at the club's AGM in December. An EGM, an extraordinary general meeting, prior to that will be disruptive and unnecessarily costly. A process has been started now to cause a spill of all seven director positions at the AGM on December 16.
So there you go. So that's the...
Now, that's a compromised position.
No, and it's 100. I think that should have been the, not that worries what I think, but the position from the start is that, okay, well, there's an AGM coming up. Let's get stuck into it there. The AGM is costly. It is disruptive. You know? Let's wait till the AGM, put our best foot forward. We'll put our case forward and then let the members vote.
They thought at the time, though, I think his line of attack was that, okay, this would disrupt. It'll happen quickly. And the changes will be made without any, you know, and by now he would have been the president or the chairman of the Collingwood Football Club. That hasn't played out that way. They're trying to reduce the amount of heartache and money that's going to be spent at the Collingwood Football Club and try and make it as seamless as they possibly can. It's going to be a bitterly fought battle between the two parties. I think we can say that safely. And the best man or woman will win in the end. But I think you're right. Like, he has retreated from his initial position, and I think his strategy that he began with is not the strategy now that they're embarking upon, because they couldn't pull it off.
Would Lisa Alexander be a serious... Would she have been mentioned at all for the Collingwood senior coaching job?
No.
Enough said?
Well, no.
Should she be?
Well, I would interview her, yes. I would interview her.
Would you?
Yeah.
For the senior coaching job?
Yeah, along with others. Because I don't think what is the downside of actually going through the interviewing process and looking at her as a candidate or what it is that she has to offer and then making the comparisons against all the other people that you got there that you're interviewing for the coaching
job?
No
downside.
There's no downside.
None.
There's none. But I can't see her being appointed the coach of the Collingwood Football Club for no other reason, not the fact that she's a woman, but for no other reason than she hasn't coached at AFL level.
Neither is Nick Del Santo.
No, but he's coached – well, he has coached AFL football, though.
Where?
Well, hasn't he coached junior football? Hasn't he coached the academy team?
Not outright, I don't think.
I thought that's what you told me the other day when we were talking about
this. He's part of the academy setup. I don't know if he was the outright coach.
Okay, and that's exactly what I said yesterday about him then. He hasn't developed as a coach yet that point where he should be the standout candidate for an AFLW position either.
So why can't Lisa then – why can't she put her hand up?
Or she can.
If Nick Del Santo can.
No, I said she can.
Oh, she can
and
now.
She no, I said she can. Well, aren't you listening to me? Well, you asked me the question before if she could apply, and I said, yes, she should. And I also said that they should interview her.
You did say that. That's exactly what you said.
You've just been deliberately
argumentative.
No,
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
I know,
that's
you're
what we
doing
do.
A good, you know, you're doing a good job of it,
too. A bit devilish.
But, I would think that if you are going to position yourself as a coach, and that's what you desire to be, then Lisa needs to try and get herself in to AFL football somewhere and coach her team.
Yeah, that would be more of the conversation.
And I know she understands the fundamentals and the and I've listened to her talk about football and other things too, and she understands all that. But I think you need to actually coach your own team, have some success at another level, and then push your claim if that's what you want to do, and then move in through, you know, the AFLW, the AFL, whatever it might be.
Yes, I know that Del was the head coach of the club's Next Generation Academy and father-son program. I don't know if they play. I don't know if they actually play. That's what you were getting at.
That's what I'm getting at. And that's why I think that it is an interesting selection that they would name him the AFLW coach, Nick D'Alessandro, because he hasn't had experience as a coach. I listen to him. He can talk footy. I understand all that. He knows the game. But until you actually understand the grind of coaching day in, day out, then I don't think that you're in a position to be really to be able to self-assess whether or not you are that right person to be coaching even.
Shea Bolton going to re-sign. Did we break that here on SEN yesterday?
I think Sammy did.
Another one for Sammy. That is great news for the Richmond faithful.
Great news. Great news. I didn't ever think that he was going to go anywhere, though, did you? I know there are others out there that were trying to recruit him.
Who would you rather on your list? Here's a question for you without notice. Shea Bolton or Josh Kelly?
No, I think Josh Kelly all round is a better player.
That wasn't my question.
Well,
my question was who.
But that's my answer to your question.
Well, that's not an answer.
Yes, it is.
Answer my question.
Okay, Josh
Kelly. You said he's a better player. I said, who would you rather have on your list?
Well, I'd rather have the better player.
Would you?
Yeah. I thought that was just an obvious answer.
Well, you've got to have a balanced list. You just can't.
So who would you rather have?
Shea Bolton. I'd have Shea Bolton.
Because?
Well, because he's got a few more tricks.
Because he can, he's more spectacular, or do you think that
he's
more complete?
He's a midfield. He can be a needle changer in the middle, and he can be a big needle changer in the forward 50.
Has his form gone off a little bit? Has it tapered a little bit in the last month or so?
Yep, it has for sure. So you can argue that Josh has been more consistent over a long period of time. That's 100% right.
Jack Gunston, this was on Footy Classified last night, reportedly at fiercely at odds with younger members of the playing group over the right approach to the club's controversial exiting of Alistair Clarkson. According to Eddie McGuire, have listened to what Eddie said about Jack Gunston and what's been playing on behind the scenes there at Hawthorn.
A couple of weeks ago, the young players said, hey, listen, this is our career. Why don't we start now and get it going quickly, get the new coach in? Why are we going to wait 18 months and have all this mucking around? And then I understand that Jack Gunston, it's interesting you talked about Jack Gunston, was very, very strong in the meeting last week when it all came to a head.
Does that surprise you in any way?
No.
That there's been a battle between the younger players and the older players there at Hawthorn behind the scenes?
If you were the elder player or the elder statesman and you got four premiership medallions behind you and you've been and seen it and done it and put it out there, and at first or second year player said, yeah, let's change Alistair Clarkson, what would you say?
Well, you've got a relationship with Alistair Clarkson. You understand his coaching and you've been by his side for a long time. You'd probably say, look, I'm not sure that you are in the best position to judge who our best coach might be at this time as an older player.
Right. I'd say I'm not sure you're at a stage where you can recommend the soup we have on the Thursday night, let alone who should be coaching us.
Well, I think that's a little bit strong. Yeah. I think you've got to be a little bit more conciliatory than that when you're talking to young people these days. That's my experience anyway.
Fair enough. Soup's pretty important, isn't it?
You can't be blunt in discussions.
The Kia Sorento is a drive car.
As you well know.
Of the year. We'll be back after this.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us this morning. The 7-seat Kia Sorento has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. We're in the middle of a sporting orgy, and it's nice to be a part of it all. We've got the Olympics in full swing. We've got the AFL and NRL seasons coming to an end. The netball's still being played.
Mm.
There's stuff going on everywhere. Whispers.
Pass me the grapes, Gary.
Daniel Venables, we are very sad
story, this.
When any player's career comes to a premature end. But when you're 22 years of age and you haven't even got started, really, it is the saddest of stories. And it's another timely reminder of the challenges that we face playing a contact sport and how the powers that be are so cognizant of what's going on at the moment and they need to be careful. He was on with the boys last night with Bob and Andy. It's heartbreaking, listen.
You see people older than you give your retirement speeches and that. As a younger player, when you're sitting and watching, you don't really think that would happen. When I was in hospital, I had scans. They told me I had 7 brain bleeds. At its worst, I had compounding migraines for like extended periods of time, on top of no sleep, on top of headache. Man, I've been improving all the time, yet for sure, but I don't realise like how bad I was until I get better. So I'm definitely so much better than I was, and I'm starting to get my quality of life back.
There's the most important part of all that.
Migraines and, did he say several or 7 brain bleeds?
Yes, but he's starting to get the quality of his life back. And that is very hard for anybody to reconcile yourself with at a very young age. That's something that you really love and something that you're enjoying doing and something that you probably have dreamt about all your life and now you're participating in, and that it would come to such a sudden end like that. Like, it's really difficult to get your mind around something like that. Bulldog Lin Jong also retired yesterday after 65 games in 10 years. Just 4 in the last 3 seasons. Hamstring injury against the Giants in round 6 ended this season. He spoke to the playing group yesterday and said that asked them not to feel sorry for him. It was really, really hard to watch that. They put a little bit online yesterday how gut-wrenching it was for him walk away from the game. Still young man, like he's only 28 years of age.
It's the same. It's like Dan Venables, it's Ling Jong, it's anyone whose season comes to a premature end. And I guess, from Lin's point of view, I'm looking at that going, it is absolutely horrific. But at least he got, I think it was 10 years, frustrations all the way through, which is why we are so, so saddened by it. The Venables one, he didn't even get going. So, there's these stories everywhere at the moment. So,
I wrote down some of his injuries, though. Like, he's had soft tissue, the hamstring, right? But he's had broken collarbones, broken jaw, anterior cruciate. He did his knee as well. And he had ruptured appendix in there as well. Like, he's had a little bit of everything in that period of time. Mm. And, you look at him and you watch him play and you think, okay, well, if he gets a good run at this bloke, what sort of a player might he be? We don't really know because he hasn't had a consistent run at it, but now it's all ended for him. So, like a lot of other young people, he's got to then decide, okay, what am I now going to do for the rest of my life? And that's a big decision for somebody to sit down and make as well.
I don't know whether you can answer this question, but it'll be on the minds of a lot of people. Will Daniel Venables get a payout? So he will. There'll be a payout for the time that he was on an AFL list. So
that's right.
It's like a pension, if you like, or whatever. But I don't – this will still be before the courts and to be determined and how that looks going forward, Darren. So I don't know what it looks like, to be honest. We know that there's a class action being put together. We know that Sean Smith got close to $1 million, I think?
Yes.
From his insurance.
That was an insurance payout. Yeah. I'm not sure.
So we don't know the answer to that, Darren, but all those avenues will be being explored, I'm sure, somewhere down the track.
Hey, I absolutely loved Elliot Yeo's response. You criticised him. You showed some vision of him last weekend and his inability to participate in the game, what he wasn't doing. Okay, so his dad sees that. He's watching Fox the other night. His dad sees that, right? And rings Elliot and says, "Oh, mate, they're talking about you on the TV."
Or did he ring and say that?
Well, he may have said that too, but I don't know. He didn't.
Maybe he didn't, because I mean, I've been the biggest.
No one has been a bigger fan of Elliot Yeo than you.
I hope his dad realizes.
This is how he responded, though. He said, "Look, it's not ideal. You can't hide anywhere. But if you're going to give out some feedback, you've got to be willing to accept it as well. I need to accept that and get better as a player and a leader." That was his response publicly yesterday on radio over there in WA.
Well, now he's even more of my favourite, because how many players go to the immediate reaction is, blow it out your backside.
What would you know?
Yeah, all that stuff.
I'm not saying what would you know, because you know a lot. But
from the cheap seats, you blokes, all that sort of stuff. I see that all the time. The media. I often say, okay, you cop some criticism, but what about the 8 years of everyone just blowing wind up your backside? So it's and you don't do it gratuitously. And part of the reason is I have such respect for him as a player, and the areas where I've got such respect for are the areas that he let himself down with on the weekend. So I loved hearing that. I wasn't aware of that. So.
I loved his response. Jeremy Cameron,
not
the
playing.
Cats. Yeah, which seems to be. I didn't expect them to play him yet, but This is the delicate nature of this, right? Mm-hmm. You go and recruit this superstar forward to your club for the purpose of what? To help you win a flag, right?
Flag time.
Now you're getting flag time now, right? The weeks are running out. You've had a bloke that's had some serious, like some serious soft tissue injuries along the way. There's a real delicate balance now between making sure that he gets back out there and he's properly conditioned and prepared and has confidence back in his body, all that type of thing, and him blowing it again. And then you
will be out for the finals.
Well, that would be the end. Another one right now, even though we're still like a few weeks out from the finals, it's almost his season. Like,
well, it would be, because then you got then you would have the dilemma of going, okay, 3 or 4 weeks brings us right slap bang into preliminary final weekend. Do we run a risk of bringing him back for a prelim? So they're the questions. So that's why they would be conservative. Well, you can only do what you do, and they can cross every T and dot every I and be conservative, and then at some stage they're going to bite the bullet.
They're going to play him. They're going to play him, aren't they? Like, he's in their best team, so it's not like they're going to just sort of like sneaking back through the VFL and say, okay, you know, let's just wait and see if you're going to be okay. But when they play him is now the huge decision that they have before them.
And they've won 10 out of 11 or 11 out of 12, so they're in a beautiful position where they can make some of those decisions without having the pressures of it being able to finish in the top four or a double chance or whatever the case may be. So that's great.